Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
And thank you very much, Randy. As always, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. The contact information is just mentioned on the web, equip.org, via the mail. And we still get letters. Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. I want to start out the broadcast today by talking about an article that I read in the Wall Street Journal. It's by Erica Kamazar, who is a psychoanalyst. And the article is titled, "Don't Believe in God? Lie to Your Children." Why? Because the alternative is to tell them they're simply going to die and then turn to dust. Erica goes on to say that declining interest in religion has proven disastrous for millions of young people struggling with depression and anxiety. That a study in the American Journal of Epidemiology showed that children or teens who attend a religious service at least once per week scored higher on psychological well-being measurements and had lower risks of mental illness. Pity then that the United States of America has seen a 20% decrease in attendance at formal religious services in the past 20 years. And that's according to a Gallup report earlier this year. Nihilism is fertilizer for anxiety and depression, and being realistic is overrated. The belief, says Erica, in God, in a protective and guiding figure to rely on when times are tough, is one of the best kinds of support for kids in an increasingly pessimistic world. I'm often asked by parents, says Erica, how do I talk to my child about death if I don't believe in God, if I don't believe in heaven? My answer is always the same, she says, lie. The idea that you simply die and turn to dust may work for some adults, but it doesn't help children. Belief in heaven helps them grapple with this tremendous and incomprehensible loss in an age of broken families, distracted parents, school violence, and nightmarish global warming predictions. Imagination plays a big part in a child's ability to cope. In an individualistic, narcissistic, and lonely society, religion provides children a rare opportunity for natural community. Well, the article goes on by saying that today the U.S. is a competitive, scary, and stressful place that idealizes perfectionism, materialism, selfishness, and virtual reality rather than human connection. Religion is the best bulwark against this kind of society. Spiritual belief and practice reinforce collective kindness, empathy, gratitude, and real connection. I got my nose running. I just got back from having a CT scan, which is quite an experience. So I'm trying to recover from that. Anyway, this article by Erica Kamazar, "Don't Believe in God, Lie to Your Children." Again, the alternative is far, far worse. If they think they're just going to disintegrate into dust, well, they've got no chance in this materialistic society in which we live. Whether children choose to continue to practice it as adults is something parents cannot control, but the spiritual or religious center will benefit them their entire lives. And what Erica is doing, in essence, is giving us the minimalist perspective. But there's a maximalist perspective as well. And I wrote about that in my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. Church, of course, is not meant to be an extravaganza. Church is actually meant to be a life. It is the sphere wherein the union of human persons with God is accomplished. This sacred sphere, this unity of God and humanity, is inextricably woven together in the fabric of one cloth. And I've quoted Saint Cyprian in this regard many times. In his book on the unity of the church, he says, "No one can have God for his father who does not have the church for his mother." And this ought to be a self-evident truth. Why? Because it is through the church that God's saving power is mediated to the whole of humanity. And thus, outside the church, there is no salvation, because salvation is the church. Christianity knows nothing of Lone Ranger Christians. To be baptized is to be born anew into a body of which Christ is the head. And in this sense, you could say, and this is the maximalist perspective, you could say that the church is the center of the universe, because the church is the place wherein which union with God takes place in this present life. And this is the union that will be consummated in the age to come. It is the church that we might well say becomes a reincarnation of Eden. It's the place in which you and I may access the tree of life, replete with its Eucharistic bounty. It's a bounty by which our nature is unified with Christ and with other Christians. So the church is not just a place that helps us cope well in this world. I'm sure that there are practical dimensions to the church. Those practical dimensions ought to be underscored, as Erica Kamizar did in this article in the Wall Street Journal. But we must remember beyond that, that the church is, in fact, the place in which we can achieve what Adam and Eve would have achieved if they had continued up the Edenic mountain, if they had eaten from the tree of life instead of from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That has been reincarnated in the church. In the church, we can receive the medicine of immortality, and it's a medicine that transforms our being from one glory to another glory. And this transformation not only takes place in this life, but it is a transformation that will take place for all eternity. I want to hint at this in as many ways as I can, because I hope and pray that people will read my magnum opus, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, The Unexpected Beauty of an Authentic Christian Life. It is available in book form, of course. It's available in MP3. It's available in CD disc. So however you want to consume this material, and it's the kind of material you want to listen to over and over again if you're listening to it on CD or MP3. But these resources available for those who support the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute, the Bible Instrument Broadcast, the Hank Unplugged Podcast, our outreaches around the world. We're putting up new entries on our YouTube channel, the Bible Instrument YouTube channel. Check all of that out. We're working to equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect, but beyond answers, to experience the ultimate answer, which is found in union with God. Again, these resources available, quip.org, or you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. My thanks to all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. You're touching the lives of people, not only for time, but also for eternity. We'll be back after the station break with much, much more coming up on the Bible Instrument Broadcast.
Award-winning journalist John S. Dickerson explores the credibility and impact of Christianity in the instant classic Jesus Skeptic, a first-of-its-kind book for a new generation. How could one figure influence the world so dramatically? Dickerson explores how Christianity has impacted and shaped our culture, including how followers of Jesus helped to abolish slavery, establish public education, found modern hospitals, support women's rights, drive racial reconciliation, and fight for justice and progress in various other arenas. To receive your copy of Jesus Skeptic for yourself, or as a terrific gift for a friend or loved one, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to equip.org. We'll be back in just a moment with more from Hank Hanegraaff. God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
Award-winning journalist John S. Dickerson investigates the credibility and impact of Christianity in the instant classic Jesus Skeptic, a first-of-its-kind book for a new generation. Jesus Skeptic takes nothing for granted as it explores whether Jesus actually lived and how his story has changed our world. Dickerson analyzes how Christianity has impacted and shaped our culture, including how followers of Jesus helped to abolish slavery, establish public education, found modern hospitals, support women's rights, drive racial reconciliation, and fight for justice and progress in various arenas. In a generation that wants to make the world a better place, we can discover what humanity's greatest champions had in common, a Christian faith. To receive your copy of Jesus Skeptic, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. The Christian Research Institute has so many resources to equip you. And one of those resources is a devotional for the season that I wrote many years ago called The Heart of Christmas. It's still applicable. I use it every single year. In fact, I go through the days of Christmas right up until the time of Christmas in the month of December. And today, of course, is the 9th of December. And on this day, we remember Emmanuel. For those not familiar with the word, it actually means Christ with us, or God with us. The ultimate self-revelation of God to humankind is Jesus Christ in flesh, literally, Christ coming in flesh. When recapitulating the most famous patristic aphorism respecting the doctrine of deification, great consternation is so often appended to its conclusion. God became man that man might become God. Everybody's saying, wow, that man might become God. But think about the first part of this aphorism. God became man. In truth, that is the ultimate mystery. It is appended to the first clause, God became man. This is the greatest of all mysteries. To imagine that the one who knit me together in my mother's womb would himself inhabit Mary's temple, well, that ought to boggle the mind. And yet that is precisely what Christianity proffers. A creator beyond all comprehension who has revealed himself in incarnation. Christ invaded time and space. Christ, he took on our humanity. And he did that so that we might experience the perichoretic movement inherent to the divinization of Christ's flesh. This is a movement undeniably commenced by the divine nature of the Logos, who united our nature to himself in a single hypostasis without division and without confusion. The movement of all creation. And that is from the moment that God made the heavens and the earth to the very present moment. He created man in his own image and likeness, and all of that a movement toward the goal. To this end did he make us, that we should become partakers of the divine nature and shares of his eternity, and that through deification, which proceeds from grace, we might prove like unto him. It is for the sake of deification that all existing things are constituted and abide, and all non-existing things are brought into being and come into being. Well, eternity, of course, is going to await the effulgence of our deification, but even now we may take hold of the life that is truly life, and in doing so experience the life that matters more. And that is precisely what I wrote about in the book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More. But remember, there's two sides to the aphorism. God became man so that man might become God. Or as Luther said, word became flesh so that flesh might become word. It's communicated in a lot of different ways, but our deification, properly understood, would be impossible without incarnation. Again, that is day 9 of Emmanuel, God With Us, that is Day 9 in the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, the book available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. For your support, check it out on the web at equip.org. Now, there's an alternative to deification, and we would call that alternative hell, quite frankly. And I'm reminded of that by a YouTube question that came in from Jerry, who says, when people speak about hell being a state of separation from God and that the flames of hell are not literal, it leaves me confused. Is there torment in hell or not? Thanks. Well, let me answer the first part of that question first. Yes, there is torment in hell. It's not torture, but it's torment. It's the torment of being eternally separated from the goodness and glory and the grace of God. Of course, the reality of hell is indisputable. Christ clearly communicated that hell is real. He didn't marginalize hell. He graphically described hell, and in doing so, he used hyperbolic language. Jesus speaks of a place of torment experienced by a rich man in the Gospel of Luke. And when you read that place of torment, you read about an earnest of what hell will be like, just an earnest of what an eternal separation from God will be like. And there are many different ways in which that can be described. It can be described as blackest darkness forever. It can be described as burning sulfur. It can be described as flames. The Apostle Paul himself described hell as being shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power. This a statement that clearly underscores the reality of continued conscious existence, but apart from God. And by the way, it's so important to recognize that God does not rub out the crowning jewels of his creation, even if they have chosen to live apart from him. He continues to sustain them in existence. There's a tremendous article in the forthcoming edition of the Christian Research Journal. It's a double issue. If you haven't subscribed, you don't want to wait. You can subscribe in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. But this article on hell is so powerful because it actually points out a graphic reality, and that is that people who do not love God desire to be apart from him. They desire hell. And this article uses Dante's Inferno as a way of communicating hell. There is a rich tapestry in that article that shouldn't be missed. Again, how Dante's Inferno explains hell to modern seekers. This double issue is worth the price of admission for that article alone. But let me continue in answering Jerry's question. Jesus, no doubt, used the metaphor of fire to get through to an obstinate people who are more concerned with physical well-being than the eternal state of their souls. And this is why God so often gets a hold of us through sickness. We're concerned about our physical well-being. And when that leaves, all of a sudden God has our attention. And as I've said many times on the broadcast, God is not interested in healing us physically. He's interested in healing the whole of us. And the physical ailments often turn our attention in exactly the direction their attention ought to be focused. Of course, God is perfectly just, and each person who spurns his grace will suffer exactly what he or she deserves. The Bible is clear. In the future, Christ will return bodily and usher in the resurrection of all things. And on that day, the just will be resurrected to eternal life, the unjust to eternal conscious torment and separation from the love and grace of God. Paradise lost will be paradise restored, and the problem of sin and Satan will be fully and finally resolved. Just as James uses the language of fire Jerry, uses that language as a metaphor for the destructive power of words, so too he uses the language of fire as a metaphor for the destructive nature of hell. So the metaphor of fire is used in many different ways, but you can imagine what it's like to be burned. It's a way of talking about how horrible it will be to be separated from the goodness grace of God for all eternity. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, and we're trying to answer your questions in a number of different ways, through YouTube, through Facebook, through Twitter. However your questions come in, we're willing to answer those questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Jerry's question is an appropriate question. We ought to be thinking about that, because only one life soon will be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And in that vein, if you support the ministry of the Christian Research Institute prayerfully and financially, you are making a difference for time and for eternity. So long for now.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Award-winning journalist John S. Dickerson investigates the credibility and impact of Christianity in the instant classic Jesus Skeptic, a first-of-its-kind book for a new generation. Jesus Skeptic takes nothing for granted as it explores whether Jesus actually lived and how his story has changed our world. Dickerson analyzes how Christianity has impacted and shaped our culture, including how followers of Jesus helped to abolish slavery, establish public education, found modern hospitals, support women's rights, drive racial reconciliation, and fight for justice and progress in various arenas. In a generation that wants to make the world a better place, we can discover what humanity's greatest champions had in common, a Christian faith. To receive your copy of Jesus Skeptic, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit us at equip.org.